Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people, people who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 400. And because it's a 100th episode, that means I am joined by a very special guest, my husband. And I got some questions from you over on Instagram, like maybe not personally you, but you know, the plural you over there. And so we're going to be answering those questions, as many as we can, here on this episode. So you want to introduce yourself, honey?
Hi, I'm Bob, the husband of the slobification person.
Thanks, honey. That was great. Okay. All right. So I have some interesting questions here. And this one is one that I've answered before, but I'm really curious to see what you're going to say. So I'm not going to give any kind of pre anything on this. I'm just going to ask you the question. How do you manage gifts you know you won't use?
Oh my. How do I manage them?
How do you deal with gifts that you don't use? Like, what do you do with gifts that you don't use?
Knowing me, I will keep them, hoping that maybe I will use them, or I might find someone in my life that could use it. Specifically, if I just happen to hear that, oh, they like blah, 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 blah. Okay. Hey, I've got an extra one. I don't know. But
I was curious what you were going to say, because this is a hard thing. Like, this is a question that a lot of people have, right? And it's something I've answered before, as far as from my perspective, and where I've had to come to the place where I'm like, if it doesn't have a place in my home, if I'm not willing to give it actual space, then I use that as my reason to be like, okay, I can't keep it. But I say that knowing it's really hard, and also knowing that that kind of stuff is extra hard for you, because I think you tend to have more emotional attachment to stuff than I do now. I think I used to have a lot more emotional attachment to stuff. I have had to get through that, but I know, like, it makes me think about, you remember our couch that we had when we first got married?
The one my parents gave us?
Yes.
I do remember that couch.
How hard was that to get rid of?
For me, or for both of us, or for my parents?
For your parents.
It was tough. I mean, they felt there should be some loyalty to us keeping that couch, when in reality, the couch was ours now. So, and there was also other circumstances we were moving. We knew we were buying new furniture. It was an old couch. I mean, there was a lot of things, but
it was an old couch they didn't want in their house. But, and it was also, let's just be honest, it was super ugly, right?
It was not the most attractive or, I guess, modern looking couch, but man, it was great for naps. Remember how long it was? I mean, like, wow, you could just really stretch out on that thing.
Did you struggle with knowing that they were frustrated over us not keeping it?
Actually, no, because it made no sense. Because it was, I remember we donated it to your church's garage sale. So we were donating it for a good cause. We were moving. We were getting brand new furniture. We had used it for 2 years, so we did get some use out of it. We did appreciate it. Now, it did bother me that my dad made a comment or two about, you know, that they gave that to us and you don't just give things away like that. But then he said, well, maybe you didn't really give it to us, because once it's yours, you get to do with what you want to with it. So, but actually, no, it didn't, because to me it was a clear, I knew we had used it, and I knew what we were going to do. And to me, it made no sense to bring that 2.5 hours away to a home where we're going to have brand new furniture anyway. There was not going to be a place for it. And maybe it might be a blessing or something good to someone else and go for a good cause. So actually, so other things, yes, I might have struggled, but that to me, it was a clear cut. No, it was just fine.
Good, good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Next question. What is the most interesting or surprising thing that you have learned about decluttering?
I guess in the fact that it's something that a lot of people struggle with in some form or another, whether it's in your home or it's a, you know, me being in the fringes of public education, the fact that teachers struggle with it after so many years being in their classroom. It's really not a unique thing just to you, which I think obviously we've found out through the things you do now. But no, I think that's one thing that surprised me is how much some folks really do struggle with it and in various ways. And it could even be a business, could be a man's shop that they keep at their house. I don't know. There's all kinds of, you know, we saw that with my dad. So I do think there's all kinds of reasons for it. But I think that surprised me how much folks, when you look at it, maybe some people don't see it, or maybe they don't see that they have this clutter. But when you're around them, you go, do you really need all of these things? Is this something? And it's men and
women. Not that we ask those questions.
I mean, it's kind of the first thing we ask people when go in their house. Do you really, really need that?
He's being sarcastic in case anybody hasn't listened to any other podcast.
And after about an hour, we go back to regular. We'll get into like a real conversation. But for about the first hour, we walk around the house and say, what about that? Do you need that? What about this? That looks a little excessive. So anyway.
Oh, my word. Please, everybody know that he's joking. Okay. How do we divvy up daily stuff? And then she says, and I love you. I think maybe she's talking to me about, but I don't know. Do you know this person?
Which one?
That one right there. How do you divvy up dailies and I love you? Do you know who that is?
I'm looking. Oh, my word.
Do you really? Oh.
So how do we? Well, I think you take advantage of what you know I don't mind doing and what I like to do. And what is it that I don't mind doing or I usually like to do?
You love taking out trash.
Well, true. The trash. And in fact, I'm a little neurotic about the trash. Like, no, we could put one more plate in there or no, let me run over here and see if I can bag that up. And I think that could go in there. But what else do I like to do around the house that you know, hey, will you do this? And I'll normally do it.
Oh, my word. Do you even know me?
I'm thinking of the coffee, but what is it?
The kitchen. I will do the kitchen. I'll do the dishes.
You do a great job. Yeah. Like, are you talking about like when we're like, hey, we need to do something, handle the kitchen?
Yeah. If you say, will you take care of the kitchen? I will say, yeah, I got it. So.
Yeah. I think that's actually, I find it helpful, and I'll be curious what you say, but I find it helpful. The reason I think it's helpful for you, for me to be like, hey, you do the kitchen, is it gives you a very specific, definite job, place, thing to tackle.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes. So I think, anyway, so the question, how do we divvy things up is I think you play to my strengths and you play to what I don't mind doing and you take advantage of that.
All right. Let's see. How has your life become easier with your wife's mission to simplify your home?
Like we said before, it's so much better, so much more manageable, so much more just knowing that we do have routines, knowing that we can be aware of things getting out of hand and, hey, we need to stop and deal with this. We need to stop and get the kitchen cleaned up. Hey, we need to stop and get the dining room table cleared off or whatever. And maybe it's because we're about to have company or maybe we're just, you know what, we just need to. I think it's definitely something that we don't just ignore anymore. I mean, we can maybe ignore for several days, but eventually we address it and take care of it. It's usually not a crisis. It's just maybe a little sense of urgency, but it's so much more manageable. And in fact, that knowing our kids still do the still know how to handle the 5-minute pickup. And even at their age now where they're older, they know what that means.
Well, I think as far as like, it's not a crisis. It's not daunting and overwhelming anymore. It's like, we know what to do. We know, you know, it's not out of hand, like months worth of buildup anymore. And so we can just tackle it, you know, when it needs to be tackled. Okay. Do we ever disagree on what is clutter?
I don't know. I don't think we disagree on what's clutter, but I think we do disagree on where does something need to go. And maybe that does lead back to the question is where would you look for this? But there are little comments made of why is that there? Why are those things there? And then I go, why are those things there? And then, man, it just goes nuts after that. So anyway.
You're the one that wanted to do the interview. We're doing the interview.
We're doing the interview.
Okay. I think the way that that actually goes is maybe like, darling. Why did these things get, darling, sweetie, why did these things get left here? And I don't feel like I say it accusatorily, but maybe I do.
No, it's all in love and patience and understanding.
Okay. Oh, here's a good one. What are you most proud of Dana for?
That she's an awesome mom, mother, wife. Those things are priority. So yes, those are the things I'm most proud of.
Thank you. What's the biggest surprise looking back on this journey? I guess it could be either the decluttering journey, desalification journey, or it could be, I don't know, the business. I don't know.
I mean, again, I think it just goes back to, it surprises me that people are almost paralyzed with their clutter and with their excess, whatever that, for whatever reason, but it just, it surprises me how much, I mean, the fact that there is such a need and even your, I guess, many ways your, this is, has become a ministry, and people are burdened and people, can't think of the word, but it tends to wear them down and even maybe affects how they feel about themselves, their home, their, ability to even cope with it. So to me, it surprises me that, I mean, I kind of knew you had some issues, but to see there's others and others need some type of guidance and hope and a game plan of how to tackle this. And it seems to free them up too. Just knowing there's people out there that this is a true struggle that really kind of incapacitates them in some ways.
Yeah. What do you think of my popularity for being a slob? How do you feel about the fact that I'm like known for this issue?
It definitely doesn't bother me. I think it's great. I think it's awesome that people, it shows that real side of you, that you are honest and open about, I guess, your struggles, your issues, what you've had to address, and just gives you a lot of credibility with those, or it gives you solid credibility with other folks who do it. So it doesn't, in fact, I share people the name of your blog website all the time. I mean, I think it's the greatest thing ever. So
did you keep that huge photo of you and your sister when we moved? It was a painting.
We did keep it, but we do not have it right now.
Because
we use that at a as our white elephant gift at a Christmas party several years ago, maybe, and I don't know who has it right now, but that was our gift we brought, and it was stolen immediately twice, and the third owner kept it. So
it was not stolen, but we do go to a Christmas party for our Sunday school class our adult Sunday school class every year. And this particular party has a history of regifting. So it's one of those items that shows up. I think the people who actually have it weren't there this year, so they didn't bring it. But yeah, it's one of those items that will make an appearance again and again and again. And then people, because it's so big, people will know, do not choose that gift. But it did get a big laugh, and that's what matters, right? Y'all know how much I love summer, and summer's coming. I definitely like to get a few new fun summertime pieces, so I really try to follow my one-in, one-out rule in my closet. I especially love to replace worn-out pieces of clothing with high-quality pieces that I know I will love for the long haul. On the Quince website, I searched for wide-leg pants to have something cool and comfy for summer travel, and I found the perfect navy pair in European linen that were less than $40. That's really the best part. Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they partner directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/clean for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/clean to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/clean. I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. It's a little bit scary to send your kids out on their own into the big wide world. As mine head into their next adventures, I definitely think through whether I've prepared them for all the things that are going to come their way. Do they know how to manage money? Do they know how to budget? What about investing for the future? Greenlight can help your children get ready. Their debit card and money app is made for families. With instant money transfers, you can send your kid a recurring allowance to their Greenlight debit card. It truly is so easy to use and customize to fit your family's needs. It's great to have someone else backing up mom and dad when it comes to the money talk. And Greenlight plays that role. Your kids will be able to build financial literacy and independence by learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. The Greenlight app also comes with a game that teaches financial literacy. Level Up helps kids build money confidence through videos, challenges, mini games, and more. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/clean. That's greenlight.com/clean to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/clean. What does he think your best characteristic is, and what do I think his best trait is? I'll tell you, I'll say mine first for you, and that is you are as honest of a person as I have literally ever known in my entire life. And I am so incredibly thankful for that. I mean, like, you are the most genuine person I have ever, ever known. And that's a wonderful thing. Like, it's a really wonderful thing.
Your trait that I'm most appreciate, I guess you're a genuineness, but also I guess your faithfulness to your family, to your marriage, to your children, to your faith. It's authentic, it's true, it's real. And I appreciate that, the fact that you take all those things very seriously, and no matter what, those things stay priority regardless of what else is going on in life. Those things are number one to you.
Thank you. What is your least favorite household chore?
Favorite obviously is the trash. I mean, I don't like vacuuming. I almost enjoy sweeping more, but I do not enjoy vacuuming. And if that's.
And it's funny because, like, when the Roomba comes on in your home, does it make you happy or mad?
It's best just to leave and go outside or go somewhere else when that thing comes on. Yes.
Because it's not quiet.
It's not quiet at all.
So he always gets very irritated. I'm like, hey, it means not vacuuming. So, okay. What are your opinions on the best ways to get, this person is asking, I guess, get her husband on board with his stuff. So just in general, husbands in general. So what I say is declutter your own stuff and neutral stuff first and do it in visible spaces so that they see and experience the impact of a house that's easier to manage because of having less stuff. They also see, I think what happened with us is you saw me getting rid of stuff that maybe you didn't think I would get rid of at different points in life, you know, and it just kind of happened naturally. It wasn't like all of a sudden you're a minimalist or anything like that. I'm not a minimalist either, but you got on board as you experienced our house being easier to manage.
Well, I guess that would be the kind of the one thing is that you just do it and hope they see the benefits of it. And it's one of those things where you can't be disappointed when they don't, but hopefully, you know, in a, I guess, lead by example kind of thing of just like you, I guess, like you said, declutter your own spaces in the neutral places, and hopefully they will see the benefits of that. And if you also show them that it works and you show them that, I guess, with as a minimal amount of drama as possible, so that it doesn't come across as this stressful, burdensome thing, but there's something that's manageable and doable, and there's a way to do it, and it works.
I think that's good what you said, with as little drama as possible. I mean, which I think the no mess method definitely is low drama. So that's a good way to put that. Okay. Now here's one we usually don't talk about. We try not to talk about parenting. We don't give parenting advice, but tips for how to handle whining from kids when they're asked to help with chores.
It just has to be ignored, in my opinion. Whining doesn't work. Whining never worked here. I mean, not saying that our kids didn't whine, but it was something that didn't work. It doesn't work when I do it. So kids are going to do it, but it cannot be catered to. It can't be something that is given into. It's not always enjoyable, but it just has to be ignored. And
that's a really good way to put it, is like the whining decreases as it doesn't produce results.
Right. It can never be effective. I think rolling your eyes is just fine. I think even sometimes mocking the whining is more than appropriate.
Talking about the parents, yes. Yeah, not the kids.
Yes. It just can't be something that is, and you can't whine back. Don't get into a whining war with kids, because you could also then whine because they're whining. No, it cannot ever be seen as something that works or is effective.
You're so smart.
Well, I've worked with children pretty much all my life. I've been in public education as a teacher, assistant principal, and now I'm a parent family liaison for our school district.
Okay. What is the secret to our successful marriage? No whining.
I think we both, I'm not sure, are we allowed to talk about our faith?
Yes, of course.
Okay. I mean, I think that we're both believers in Christ. We're both Christ followers. That's just something that unites, that will always be something that's a uniting factor. And it's the most important things in our life and most important thing in our lives. And I think that's just the foundation for who we are as a married couple. But I think also we just have to be unified. I mean, I think it starts being unified in Christ, and then it just goes from there, that we have to be unified when it's dealing with our kids, when it's moving forward with some type of a career decision or financial situation. It can't be something where, and it may not always be easy, but we have to be on the same page. We have to be unified. I think the fact that we, our biggest fights and our biggest issues are really who's the funniest. I think when that is your biggest issue in your marriage, because you're going to have issues, but I don't know, laughing, humor, I think also carries us a long way.
I really do. I think that not taking ourselves too seriously, not taking all the stuff too seriously, and both of us are willing to make jokes at the very least appropriate times.
Yes.
Which makes life a lot easier and more fun. I don't know if this is to me or to you. Do you read decluttering books, or do you avoid so they don't clutter your mind? I'll answer for me. I do not read decluttering books because I write them and I don't want to accidentally like plagiarize or anything. And so I basically don't read or watch or listen to any kind of decluttering stuff.
I mean, I don't, because I have the expert in my home that if I have any issues, I just go ask her.
I do say on a somewhat regular basis, you do know I'm one of the world's leading experts on this when they question.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, that comes up on a pretty regular basis.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Is there something that you, this is talking to you, honey, that you wish that, wait, hold on. Is there something he wishes I, the family, would work on, but we haven't yet, I guess, in our home?
I'm sure there is.
Our garage right now.
True. The garage. If it wasn't for me, most of the leftovers would never get eaten. So I wish y'all could do a little better job of eating leftovers, because I see them in there and y'all act like you're going to eat them and then you don't.
But if we ate them, then you wouldn't have them to eat.
I'm just answering the question.
Okay.
I don't really. I mean, we have areas. Yeah, I guess the garage is something, but that's on me too, because it kind of sounded like the question was like, what bothers me that I wished y'all did, but. We still have some general things we let go that we, could do a better job on.
I feel like, though, that we manage pretty well. Like, yes, the garage gets, right now I'm collecting boxes for, which is not hard to do, but collecting boxes to try to put down as weed preventer in my garden and stuff. So it's just kind of this big monster pile of boxes because I'm waiting to do that. And then it rains on the day I think I'm going to do it and stuff like that. But it's, I would say overall, we pretty much manage pretty decently. Yeah.
Yes, agreed. And I'm sure our children will be just fine someday when they have their own families. So we just have to trust that these things will follow them or they'll catch on for their own sake.
I mean, I feel like that's what, now that we have young adult kids, there's so many things that they... You just kind of go, well, we've taught them. So at some point, they just have to make it their own because, oh my goodness, how many times do we have conversations where they like have learned something and they're like, wow, I figured this out. And you're like, I have told you that all your life, but I have to just not say anything.
Yeah. And we see them and we see them figure things out. And you just have to trust that they will when they get their own lives, their own families, that they will see the need, or somebody will sure, in a very loving, firm way, tell them they need to take care of this. So,
was there anything that was scary to you in the decluttering process for me? Like, you know, as I was decluttering, was there anything you were worried I was going to, or that you've been worried I was going to make us get rid of, or something? She says her husband's a collector of things.
That's an interesting question, especially as, because you've never, I collect things, and some of those things I've just collected have just stayed in boxes, and I'm not sure what we're going to do with them. But I'm also, over time, eventually will go, you know what, held on to this for all this time. It's really not even something I think about anymore. Why do I still have it? But you know those things that are very important to me, and you respect that. And maybe at first a little bit, that's a good point, because I'd like to collect things too. But you just tried to help me find a place for it. I'm okay if I'm going to keep it. Where can this go? How can it be displayed? What is it going to take for this to be something that is that important to you to find it a home? I don't know if that makes sense or not, but in many ways, not really, because you know what's important to me. You know things that mean a lot to me, and I've never had to get rid of an Elvis Presley memorabilia thing. I've never had to do anything like that. Now, I couldn't. You didn't let me buy as many muscle and fitness magazines when we first got married. You didn't let me. You kind of put a stop to that. I could.
Oh, my word.
Really?
Did I really stop you from doing that?
Kind of, because I would buy all kinds of, like, bodybuilding magazines, and you're like, do you really need all those? What are you going to do with all those? So, yeah, that was one of the first things you did kind of limit me on those things. On that.
I don't remember that at all. I'm guessing it. At the time, though, it was probably more like, because those things are not cheap.
They may not be cheap, but obviously they've paid off.
Big time. Okay. Oh, to Mr. White, we've kind of answered this. What's it like to be married to a celebrity?
Again, it's a very competitive world.
What?
I mean, I'm a local celebrity. You are a international celebrity, and it just kind of, you know, when we go somewhere, it's, you know, who's going to be recognized first. And so it's just very competitive.
The truth is, it's actually a joke in our family, because when we are in our actual town, he's the celebrity. He's the one that everybody knows. We cannot walk through anywhere because everybody's had him as a principal at some point, it seems like. Okay. Was it difficult for you to get on board with the changes that I made when I got started?
A little. I mean, just because it was, how do I say this? I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess maybe I had a little lack of faith that this was going to work. It was a struggle for you. I mean, not that I didn't think you were not going to be, but yeah, I guess I had my doubts. But again, I think one of the things about our family is that we don't think it's our job to discourage people from whatever it is they want to do, whether it's a dream or a goal or a plan or some way to improve. Man, that's just not so. Even if it didn't work, it was, what's there to lose? Yeah, there was nothing to lose. So, but yeah, I had my doubts. But again, it's again, I think that's one thing I love about our family is that there's, you know, we're even going through a couple of things right now where it seems like people have to give their opinion, and their opinion is to almost to discourage you or say, no, you shouldn't do it or can't do it. And that just doesn't make any sense to us as a family. And I'm glad that we're that way, that it's not our job to try to convince people they can't do something or shouldn't do something. Not if it's illegal or wrong or whatever, but we're not talking about those kinds of things. So again, it was a no lose situation. I mean, what if it does work? And it did. And what if it didn't work? Oh, well, yeah. We're still in the same spot we were, but you know, I had my doubts.
Has our relationship changed with the changing of our home? I do think that there's a confidence level in, like, you know, I used to be so bewildered by these things that I felt like were supposed to be my job, you know, kind of in those early days when I was a stay-at-home mom and was like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing all these things. And then I was terrible at it. And then getting it figured out. And then also just the confidence level. I don't know. Do you feel like that changes our relationship at all? Or is that just a random thing that I shouldn't have talked about?
I don't know if it's changed our relationship, but I would agree with that, that it's probably something that years ago, I don't know that I would have trusted you as much as far as getting our home in order. I would have just, well, that's just the way it is. But now I definitely think there's a trust factor with you now, knowing that you have things that work for you that you've also found will work for others. So it's not something that I worry about or something that stresses me is our home. It, you know, that doesn't, whereas I think probably in the past it was kind of like just knowing having the house ready for something was going to be this super stressful, you know, what room do we throw everything in for this party? Really? No, we already threw everything into that room. Where's another room? So there's just the fact that that's not a problem anymore. Whereas I guess previously that would have been a stressor. That would have been something, but now we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah. Here's a good question. Do you find the first decluttering question of step four as easy as Dana? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Is that anything like step nine?
Don't be a step skipper. No, it's the where would you look for this first? If I needed this item, where would I look for it first?
To me, it's a very practical, natural thing that maybe you don't realize that's what you need to do, but that's what you need to do and probably you should do and probably are doing. So it's something that's already probably programmed into your brain anyway. So, or should be programmed in your brain, is that where would you look for it first?
Well, it's almost like being willing to accept that instinct. And you ask that question on a pretty regular basis now. So I think it's become pretty second nature for you. Okay. Have the house routines changed dramatically since we've had kids who have moved out?
We don't do as many 5-minute pickups anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for sure. Just because there's not as much of their clutter, you know, to have to deal with, but we still do it. We still can dish out. I mean, we still can come, we can still produce some pretty good trash and dishes.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And we, for some reason, still need 10 pounds of mashed potatoes at every meal. So
that's been the hardest adjustment for me, is making fewer mashed potatoes. Yeah. Not really 10 pounds, but yeah. Do you have project brain too? You know what that means? Means I like to tackle things that have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that's what makes the house stuff harder. I'm going to answer for you, and then you tell me what you think.
Okay.
I think he's much better at the day-to-day stuff. Like he makes the coffee every single night. He has always had an evening routine, a morning routine, things that he does every single day. He's much better at remembering that it's trash day and making sure that it's out there and blah, blah, blah. So like those things that just never occurred to me, I feel like come a little more naturally to you.
True. Yeah. I mean, they just, I agree. Yeah. I definitely have more of a routine oriented kind of lifestyle or whatever. So.
Okay. And then somebody asked your favorite books. It can be your actual favorite books, not just the ones I buy for you to read.
I mean, I've read, I guess, so much nonfiction in the last number of years that, I mean, favorite books, I've really, I guess, Candace Millard, I like her stuff. Was it the River of Doubt? Is that the one with
Teddy Roosevelt in the Amazon?
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt went down. That it was a... That's a Three Stooges joke, if anybody didn't catch that. Anyway, I don't think it was that. Was it the Amazon? I know it was in South America, but yeah, that was actually a really good book. And I'm blank right now, but
I think she also did Destiny of the Republic, right?
She did. Yes, excellent author. So I really like her stuff. I really do enjoy a lot of presidential history. In fact, I'm reading one now on Grover Cleveland. What are some other?
Well, I think it basically is summed up in that old Progressive commercial where, you know, trying to help young homeowners not turn into their parents or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he says, who else reads books about submarines? My dad. Exactly. You know, and we laugh really hard at that because have you read books about submarines?
I have read one. I did read one book about submarines, of a World War II submarine that sunk, unfortunately, with all of the men inside. And was it Deep Sea Detectives or something like that? I think there used to be a show, and I think it kind of got them started. Actually, yeah, I have actually read.
You also liked that Boys on the Boat. That's a movie that we want to see.
Oh, yes. Highly recommend Boys on the Boat. Yes. That's and the Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie is way too long. I mean, you can only handle so much of Leonardo DiCaprio, but it does not need to be 3.5 hours long. But that's an excellent, sad, but excellent book too. So, yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for doing this podcast with me. I appreciate it. And I guess we'll do another one on episode 500.
I will say it was enjoyable. Maybe I didn't have the best attitude when you said, hey, we got to do a podcast. But it's been fun. So anyway.
Thanks. I love doing these with you. All right. Just a reminder that Take Your House Back is, there's probably a little thing that's going to come in at the beginning and the end to tell you that. But just a reminder that it is on sale right now. So you want to grab that. All right. I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.